live and local. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
A naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Genius.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi. I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
Just seem to fall into our lap, right? Nothing's supposed to be going on between the Super Bowl and college baseball season, and wouldn't you know it, Christopher Cross is coming to Baton Rouge. Yeah! All right, not necessarily going to the show, but you people can go to the show. How about that? All right, so we got five pairs of tickets to give away to Christopher Cross. Not this time. All right, but every time moving forward, we'll take the fifth caller, and you win a pair of tickets to see Christopher Cross at LeBaron's in Baton Rouge, all right? You guys know the number, 706-0111. 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. It is National Signing Day, so we'll get to that here in a minute. major trade in the NBA last night that did not involve Anthony Davis, but may concern him. And we got a great list of guests to talk about everything that's going on today. And we got a couple of college basketball games, one here in town, one in Starkville. And, of course, AD is still at the front of the NBA trade deadline, which is up tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Time. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will join us. Been covering college football for a long, long time. He went back to look back at his book, The Meat Market, which was, you know, writing the book on Ed Orgeron. And so we talked to him also about a couple of things current in the news. Chris Blair will join us, hopefully from Starkville, preview tonight's LSU basketball game, pregame show 7:30 right here on 107 The Game. From Rivals in Yahoo, it'll be Sam Spiegelman at 7:45. I thought we'd get him early, Cody, in the 6 o'clock hour, because, you know, at 7 he's going to be busy. But no, he's sleeping in. We'll get him at 7:45. We'll see if Brian Bieniemy joins us, as we went off a little bit on him yesterday, but we'll talk about Pelicans, hopefully with him. Danny Reed, the voice of Georgia Southern, will join us, and Chris Gordy from Houston. And you got to like the smack talk from Kobe, you know, one of the all-time Gunners, saying James Harden style can't win championships. Okay, there you go. That's interesting. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Remember, whenever you hear Christopher Cross played on the show, be the fifth caller, 706-0111, and you can win a pair of tickets to see Mr. Cross next Friday. Not that, I don't know if I said this Friday. It's next Friday. Again, it's probably no coincidence, all right? Black helicopters and conspiracy theories. Cody's getting married next week. So I'm just, you know, we'll see who the entertainment is.
This concert happening, what? I'd have to look at the exact start time, probably 24 hours before the scheduled start of my nuptials.
Yes.
So.
Well, actually, about 22 hours. About it, no, 26 hours.
So this starts.
Oh no,
at
no. No, it'll be 18 hours before your. No, if I could do the math, let's do the math. 22 hours before your nuptials.
Because I start at 6, right?
Correct. And so he's going on at 8. Perfect. On Friday.
I like how
correct.
I had to ask you what time
right.
my wedding started.
Right.
Like,
right. I knew what time your wedding was. I just couldn't do the math.
Very all good. Right. I was all told right. there would be no math.
All right. My understanding is there would be no math. Okay. So here we are, National Signing Day. And LSU, I didn't realize this, but in 247, they've fallen from a 4 to 6. They're actually now 4th in the SEC. Is that right? Yes, they are. Alabama's one. Georgia's two. Texas, three. A&M, four. Oklahoma, five. And LSU, six. I guess apparently they had actually fallen to seventh. He's got a great class. All right. Got the kid, Derek Stingley Jr., right? That was the kid that they, you know, didn't get the corner a couple, in fact, I think it was last year, right? The Miami Dolphins corner didn't come. His son didn't come. Didn't end up with Moses and stuff like that. I think he's got a great class. Does he have to get Ishmael Sopcich to make it the class? And I don't think, you know, if he was at four, maybe the LSU could get to two or three. I don't know how much he's going to jump moving forward. But Ishmael Sopcich and Devontae Lee are both announcing, again, they changed the time. It's going to be 12:30 tomorrow. And in fact, I don't know what actually the original time was. Someone had it at, you know, 2 p.m. One had it at noon. And so we're wondering if, you know, there was a missing one. But they both announced it. The school announced it. And Sopcich announced it. Devontae Lee announced it. It'll be 12:30 today. And I'm sure, you know, stay with us throughout the day. We'll put it out where they decide. But he's got a great class, all right? He has an amazing class, which is why Ed Orgeron was brought here to begin with, all right? And we got our first Shut Up Dave poll question. You know, Cody, does Ishmael Sopcich have to commit to LSU to make this a great class? I say no. It already is a great class. Is that going to be the difference between, you know, LSU competing for a national championship or not? Can he come in here? Is he going to play right away with Alabama? They got a bunch of defensive linemen already committed there. All right. And I'm the, you correct me if I'm wrong, but again, I don't remember anyone talking about Quinnen Williams at the beginning of the year. Not only does he get a Heisman vote, he may end up being the number one pick in the draft. We'll see. All right. Guess it's between Bosa and him, among others. So there's obviously voids to fill on that Alabama defensive line, and he'll be in the mix if he plays, but they already got a bunch of guys going there. And it always is. It always seems to be, I mean, the last guy that LSU was all in on and they got was Leonard Fournette, right? And that was when I first got here. Was that January of 13, Cody, even? 14, 15, 16? I think so. That's when I first got here. And they had a huge signing class, right? The only one they didn't get that year was Speedy Noyle. And I'm not sure how well that turned out for Speedy Noyle. Right? They got Malachi Dupree, who probably left a little bit early, but that's a different conversation. But they got Fournette, got Malachi Dupree, Speedy Noyle went out to A&M. I think he had an injured career, and he left early. Is he in the NFL, Cody? I mean, I think he got drafted, but I don't remember him having a big season. But this is where we are. I mean, Devontae Lee is supposed to come. We heard Mike Scarborough tell us yesterday he's very high on Devontae Lee coming to LSU. He still believes that Sopcich is coming to LSU. It'll be a great day if he does. Not going to crush the kid if he doesn't. But it is interesting to see how, you know, go back, and we'll have Bruce Feldman on, but go back and read that article. Maybe I'll retweet it so you can find it at Dave 1037 The Game or at 1037 The Game. Bruce Feldman's article on the meat market 2007 and see where these guys are. One of the big-time recruits is an internet star, an Instagram star, Cody. He's like a trainer. Has a bunch of followers. And a very successful personal trainer. There was somebody else who,
I'm sure the NCAA will find a way to shut that down.
Well, now, I mean, yeah. It's a decade later. There was somebody else who never played. A big-time recruit. Couldn't afford to go to college. Had to get a job. Now he's got a wife, four kids. She's a nurse. They live in Dallas. They're doing pretty well.
See, that's a movie I'd like to see. Or maybe a documentary, maybe,
right?
More than a movie.
Well, maybe Meat Market will be.
It could be, right? I mean.
And then we got this other situation. Of course, leave it to Ross Dellinger to find this out. You have this, I don't know if it's a scam or not, and for some reason my Orange are involved. Tennessee is involved, so I don't know what it is with the color orange. But I think Ross Dellinger reported over the last 8 years, listen to this number. These numbers are mind-boggling. Colleges have offered 101,000 scholarships for 15,000 spots. That's outrageous. Syracuse and Tennessee just this year have offered 440 scholarships each. At the max, they could take 25. I mean, I guess that'd be like me applying to all the major, you know, major big city, you know, New York, Boston, Chicago, L.A., Dallas, Houston. All those sports stations just to send something out. Maybe they call back. Maybe. But they're just like throwing it up against the wall and hoping something sticks. And then you take the specificness of Ishmael Sopcich, all right? What happens if you're plan B? Now, remember, plan B for LSU didn't work out a couple years ago. It all happened before signing day. But remember, plan A was Cam Akers. He's at Florida State. Then plan B was Travis Etienne, and that didn't work out. So now this thing isn't happening at 7 a.m. or whenever they can, you know, start using the fax machine again. You got to wait till 12:30. So what does the coach at LSU tell the other defensive lineman? Hey, we'll be in touch. Do you think the other schools are going to tell them to wait? Hey, why don't you sign with us now? You're plan B at LSU. Because what happens when the other school says you can either sign with us now or wait for LSU, and we may or may not have a spot for you? So at 12:30, all of a sudden, Sopcich goes to Bama, and the other school or schools, you know, get their defensive linemen somewhere between 7 and 12:30, and all of a sudden these guys are out of luck. They had a great story about Foster Moreau, and it all worked out for Foster Moreau. But the New Orleans kid was all set to come to LSU. We all know his story, but a quick reminder, and he was told, no, there's no spot for you. Crushed. Ready to go to LSU. Crushed. Well, he's going to stay at home and go to Tulane. All right, so again, hashtag always bright side. Ready to go to Tulane. Mom allows him to sleep in, comes out of the shower. Les Miles is on the phone. Hey, Foster, how about you want to come to LSU? Now Tulane is left in the lurch. LSU tugs at the heartstrings. The guys they wanted didn't come. Now they got room for Foster Moreau, and obviously he had a great career. I would expect him to play in the NFL. For how long, we'll see. But he's going to get a shot somewhere. It may be just training camp, but he's going to get a shot. Because he's one of those good guys to have around. But you got the situation where, you know, 101,000 offers for 15,000 spots? Like in Syracuse and Tennessee, 440 offers for at max 25 spots. I mean, it is. I mean, even one of the coaches says it's a bad situation. And you got people going back and forth, using each other, as it turns out. And now everyone's waiting for Sopcich, Devontae Lee, and others. All right. So that first, you got the first poll question, Cody. All right. I think it's already amazing class. What you got it? What was it?
I put, does Coach O need to sign Ishmael Sopcich for this recruiting class at LSU to be a success?
All right.
Hashtag okay. Go Tigers. Hashtag NSD 2019. Hashtag right. Shut up Dave.
Okay. Yes, no, shut up Dave?
Yes.
All right. I think it's already an amazing class. Even if it falls to like number, you know, 10, he's still got a really good class. And Derek Stingley Jr. is going to play a mediamento. Is that the correct? Is that the official? Is that the technical term? A mediamento?
I'm going to pretend I know what that means.
Right. He's going to start day uno. All right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would plug and play.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll eventually talk a little Cajuns recruiting. They may have over-recruited as well. We'll see. All right. Next up, though, NBA talk. I mean, love that NBA soap opera. All right. the Lakers pulled out of the deal. Yeah, right, okay. And a major trade that it appears both sides are really happy. It's unbelievable. Back after this on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Again, stay tuned when you hear Christopher Cross be the fifth caller for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Yacht Rock legend at L'Auberge in Baton Rouge. We're still, as it turns out, I mean, you know, we're trying to get him on the air. Right? That's the whole goal, all right? We've traded away our soul to give away tickets and promote the show to see if we get him on the air, all right? But how could we not get the tickets, all right? So when you hear Christopher Cross, fifth caller, 706-0111, tickets will be at will call, all right? Bruce Feldman, 6:45. We'll see if Chris Blair wakes up, 7:32. Sam Spiegelman, 7:45. Lots to do on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat, 103.7. The game. All right, a good news, bad news situation, Cody. All right, the Cajuns have moved up in their rankings. Still number one in Sunbelt. But they've gone up from 69 to 67. So that's
nice.
A good... Well, almost. That's a good news, bad news.
Yeah.
Right. Would have been better if they ended up just at 69.
Forever.
Right.
Forever.
Right. But that's a really good recruiting class. The thing is, though, they have, again, this is according to, let's see if we get it here, Rivals 24/7. They got 25. All right. They're missing a guy who committed, I believe, yesterday. Gage Rapp from Sulphur committed yesterday. Kind of wide receiver, athletic type. Sulphur High School, second team All-State, two-time All-District wide receiver. So we'll see how that affects it. Cajuns, I thought, had like 18 or 19. Let's see here. I'm going by, again, 24-7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 commits that are not signed that are signing today. All right. Franklin out of Neville, outside linebacker. King McGowan, which is a great name, offensive tackle outside of Willis, Texas. Jabraylon Spencer, right out of here, out of New Iberia, outside linebacker. Boy, good size, 6'3", 200 pounds. Tyler Brown, out of Madison, Mississippi, a guard, 6'3", 297. JV Magali, I am guessing I'm not even that close to that, but I guess looks like a quarterback, 6'2", 226. Andrew Gleason, defensive end out of West Monroe, 6'3", 230. And A.J. Gilley, 6'3", 280, an offensive guard. All right, but I don't see Mr. Rapp is the problem. All right, Gage Rapp. All right, so we'll find out today. Billy Napier will be on. By the way, Billy Napier will be on with Ben Love later today. He gets all the big interviews because, you know, he's the BLT. He's the Ben Love tour. He's all over the place. All right, did we have a phone call? No?
Nobody there.
Someone called?
But no one was
trolling
there.
Trolling us? All right. Maybe wrong number. All
probably.
Right. Thought Kenny Loggins was Christopher Cross. Is that what happened?
I think that happens a lot. I pick up the phone and I'm like, 103.7 the game. And right. Then I just get a lot of click. Right. Like, that's right. Not who I'm looking for.
All right. The official announcement is 12:45 for Devontae Lee and Ishmael Sopser. All right. So that keeps on changing on me. But all right. We'll keep you up to date. And again, we will be at the Cajuns National Signing Day press conference, and we'll have a full recap for you, not only on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but look for it on the video as well, what Billy Napier says. And as far as I'm concerned, this is really his first recruiting class. You can't talk about the coach's first recruiting class when he shows up, you know, the week of National Signing Day, the first time around, early signing day, and then he's got, you know, 6 weeks to put together a class. That doesn't really count. This, as far as I'm concerned, this is first class, and it's pretty good. All right, it's pretty good. Of course, the question is still going to be, Cody, who's the starting quarterback for the Raging Cajuns? That's the question. That will be the first question, at least that I ask. Well, Dave, well, we'll go through spring practice. We'll probably play through to probably play two quarterbacks like we did last year. We got to go through the spring. We got to go through the fall. A lot of time before we get to who the starting quarterback is. All right, just thought I'd ask Coach. All right, meanwhile, in the NBA, major trade pulled off yesterday between the Sixers and the Clippers. And it appears both sides are thrilled to death. Both sides are thrilled to death. The key points are Tobias Harris going to the Sixers with some other parts in there and being traded for some parts from the Sixers. But the Sixers give up two picks, one of theirs and then one of the Heat's that they had. So now they get two, the Clippers get two first-round picks in like 2021, all right? Bill Simmons tells you, how the hell did the Clippers get two firsts, including that great 2021 Miami pick for a non-All-Star who was leaving in 3 months? The Jerry West Clippers era is amazing. You look at Philadelphia talk show hosts, they're like, best trade in a long time. So everybody is thrilled. Meanwhile, the Clippers, all of a sudden under the radar, have cleared some cap space for maybe, you know, a couple of guys. KD and AD, maybe. And the way it's worked out, I saw this somewhere too, the picks are not going to work in Boston's favor, by the way. Because now, if the Clippers don't make the playoffs, they keep their pick. And if the Kings make the playoffs, that pick is no longer in the lottery. How about that, Cody? Here you go. Boston lost on the Sixers-Clippers trade. If the Clippers miss the playoffs, they keep their first and Boston doesn't get it. The 8 seed is then open for the Kings, ensuring the pick Boston gets from them non-lottery. Jerry West now has an arsenal to get in the AD war. How about that? Meanwhile, the Lakers announced, we're no longer interested. We're pulling out. Thanks for coming, Pelicans. Where are they moving on to, Cody? Where's the next AD coming from? They're going to go get Jabari Parker? Really? That's what they're going to do, Jabari Parker? Does anybody want Jabari Parker? And I'll be honest with you. I wanted Jabari Parker. I was a big Jabari Parker fan when he was with Duke. But he's fallen off the face of the earth. Meanwhile, Okafor is playing like an all-star with the Pelicans. Crazy. Pelicans a game and a half out of fifth. Game and a half out of sixth. Four and a half out of fifth place. It's awesome. All right. Keep playing well and lose. I love it. All right, back after this, more sports chat. Bruce Feldman coming up from The Athletic, 6:45. Stay with us on the Yacht Rock Wednesday, 103.7. The Game. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Yacht Rock Wednesday. Sports chat, stay with us. Chance for you to win Christopher Cross tickets. Next time you hear Christopher Cross, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see him at LeBaron's next Friday night. So you just get these, you know, we send out those notifications, Cody. Goodness gracious. And so, you know, get one from, you know, a Syracuse newspaper. Check out the best graduation rates. High school graduation. How many people you go to high school with, Cody?
Including myself, 56 total.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do you know how many graduated?
56.
All 56 graduated?
Yeah.
From ninth grade on?
Oh, well. From ninth grade on, we had some kids leave the school. We had new kids come in, but
sure.
I mean,
okay, wow, that's impressive. Because here, I got Frankfurt.
I guess to be real, two kids didn't get to walk with the class, but that was disciplinary things, not really grade.
I mean, these small schools enrolled 90, graduated 86. Can't beat that. Caledonia Mumford, 81 enrolled, 78. God, I mean, these are some small high schools, man.
I can relate.
small high schools. I thought my high school was small. Like, you know,
Kaylee graduated with even less.
Who did?
Kaylee.
Oh, yeah?
There were even less. There were like 40-something people in her class.
Oh, my God.
That shows you. And our high schools were about 8 minutes apart from each other.
My goodness. Then you got these other schools outside of Rochester, 242 enrolled, 238 graduated.
That's really good.
That's impressive. Yeah. Those are public schools. Let's see here. My high school is up there somewhere, I think. Because there's a picture of it here. Oh, maybe not. Well, maybe not. Looking for mine.
Do I take this opportunity to see, like, you can't find a Jurassic High anywhere,
right.
anywhere on
yeah.
there?
No, no, no. All right. Anyways, all right. We got Bruce Feldman coming on from theathletic.com. Oh, no, the picture of my high school was for the other high school, for the Pittsburgh Mended one outside of Rochester. All right. Anyways, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. A little soap opera going on with the Pelicans these days. Mr. Anthony Davis said his fingers were okay and that he wanted to play against the Pacers. The Pelicans said, yeah, I don't think so. No, no, no. No, no. And so now this is a thing. He's not playing. Do they play again tonight, Cody?
They do. They're on the road in Chicago.
He's not playing tonight. And they're going to lose. They're going to win that game, unfortunately, right? They're going to beat Chicago.
Chicago's one of the, what, handful of teams worse, that are worse than them.
Way worse, yes. So they're not. That's going to be bad. That's going to be disappointing that they're going to lose to Chicago. But he's not playing, right? There's no way he's playing in that game before the trade deadline. All right. Well, what could possibly happen? Well, I don't know, but John Wall ruptured his Achilles slipping in his own house. At least that's the story we're being told. Ruptured his Achilles slipping in his own house. So not only is John Wall out for the rest of the year, guess what? He's out for next year. That would significantly lower Anthony Davis's trade value if he got hurt playing in a meaningless basketball game and in a game that you're trying to, you know, lose anyways, at least in my mind. Shut up, Dave Poll question, Cody. Should Anthony Davis play another game for the Pelicans? The answer is no. And don't make a thing about it, Anthony. This was your deal. You got the ball rolling. You want to blame Clutch Sports? Go ahead. But you can't tell the Pelicans you want to be traded and then be surprised or disappointed that you're not playing. You're a big boy. You understand, you know, literally and figuratively, you understand the process. Right? Those baseball teams always pull the player out after they're traded. And sometimes they sit them before they're traded. And that's baseball. You know, how many more brittle people are in the NBA than Anthony Davis? He's always flailing on the floor. He hurt his fingers. He's always hurt. I ain't playing Anthony Davis again. And I'm waiting to the summer to do this. Again, I'm all conspiracy theory and black helicopters. And I know that was the last show, you know, a few months ago. But if this team can get into the fifth spot or the sixth spot, which is not outrageous, they got a not quite as good as chance as the top three, but they got a shot at getting the number one pick in the draft. Then maybe Anthony Davis sticks around, but maybe not. Then you can just go trade it away to Boston or whomever, or the Lakers. At that point in time, did you see what the Lakers did last night? With all the superstars that they want to trade? Trade to the Pelicans? Are you kidding me? This is to the Victor Oladipo-less Pacers. Are you all right in there? You got a muscle spasm?
Yeah, it started acting up last night, and
you're getting old.
No, I just slept on it wrong. Oh, okay. All that is, I think
cold feet.
No, what is a crick in my neck have to do with cold feet?
A crick in your neck? I don't know. Crick in your neck. All of a sudden, stress.
Nah,
it's getting to you.
It's late, Art. All right. I'm sorry. I'll keep my shoulder rubbing right. myself.
I'm telling you, I've got a crick in the neck, and it's got cold feet. The subconscious taking over.
No subconscious here, Dave. Just you making wild allegations.
Well, that too.
That too, of course, naturally.
Pacers lose to, or beat the Lakers. The Pacers beat the Lakers 136-94. LeBron James even played. Kyle Kuzma, 12 points. Brandon Ingram, 12 points. Zubac, 8 points. I mean, really? Michael Beasley, 0 for 8, 0 points. Wagner, out of Michigan, 5 points. Who are they trading for? And Jason, and Hart is hurt. Josh Hart is hurt. They're trading for who? Against the Pacers? And the Pacers are good because, you know, they have Victor Oladipo, but not last night. Goodness gracious. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 Pacers in double figures. 7 Pacers in double figures. And the Lakers are serious about the guys they're giving to the Pelicans? And our boy Brian Bieniemy, Cody, you know, as cleanly as I can say this, you know, sees what Tobias Harris is traded for. And it's ridiculous. Tobias Harris just got traded for 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and 2 throw-in players. And y'all got the nerve to tell me AD ain't worth 4 first-round picks? Although I don't think those picks are any good either. Bieniemy will be coming up at 8 o'clock. All right, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. A revisit to the meat market and Ed Orgeron's recruiting class in 07 with Ole Miss. And he talks about, well, Florida State and Southern Miss. Lots more to do on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. And every time it means you never good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Obviously, it is National Signing Day today, so who better to talk to than The Athletic's Bruce Feldman? He's going backwards before he's looking forwards. Bruce, you're on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be on with you today.
All right. What made you think to go back? You wrote the book, literally, on Ed Orgeron, Meat Market, from 2007. What made you think to go back all of a sudden now?
Well, it's actually an idea from one of my editors at The Athletic. He thought it would be good to see what happened to a lot of these kids, not just the ones that they had signed, but also a lot of the ones that are mentioned prominently in the book who they didn't end up getting. And sometimes it's, you know, it was interesting to look back and see the hits and misses and why some guys who may have been really talented didn't make it as football players, and then why some guys who were real projects ended up turning out to be really good players. And one of those examples is a guy, Bradley Sowell, who was 6'7", 370 pounds, and, you know, was a big project. They liked him because they thought he was pretty athletic. He was a pitcher in baseball, but he had weight issues. They took a chance on him, and that guy ended up starting 3 years and is still playing in the NFL and actually caught a touchdown pass with the Bears as a tackle eligible this season. So there's just a lot of interesting stories, and so the reaction when that story went up, you know, kind of a look back at the book, was, I think it was pretty, I think it made a lot of people sentimental and just kind of was just a fun look back at something, just because so many people follow recruiting so closely.
How difficult was it to track these guys down?
It had some challenges, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you can get some that are hiding in plain sight through Instagram, and then there's other people. The lowest rated player in the Ole Miss class 12 years ago was a guy named LaJuan Scott. He was a defensive tackle from Florida. He ended up had a really good career in Ole Miss. He was an honorable mention All-SEC player. Had a trial with the Cowboys, and I had found out that he was an assistant manager at a Walgreens in Columbus, Georgia. And I ended up calling, I think there were 6 or 7 Walgreens, and by the last one, I spoke to a woman. I said, is he there? And she said, no, he actually just got deployed again. Mm. And so he's been in the military, and he played some professional indoor pro football after he didn't make it with the Cowboys, and he's in the military now. So just, you know, you're always reaching out to as many people as you can to try to track down whoever he could. And I was pleasantly surprised. I was able to get a hold of some guys that, you know, people I hadn't heard of in a long time, including Roderick Davis, who was a guy who's a top 100 player from Memphis, never played another down after high school, didn't qualify, had a family at the time, and said, you know what, I can't pursue football. I got a family to support. And now he lives in Dallas with his wife, who's a nurse, and they have four kids. And he said, you know, he sounded happy and you know, doesn't really wonder what if too much, because he just felt like that was, you know, the purpose he had was more pressing than just chasing his football dream.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. He wrote the book Meat Market about following Ed Orgeron's class at 2007 at Ole Miss. It seems like you found a lot of players. You talked to them. You talked to a lot of coaches. I skimmed the whole article. I didn't see any Ed Orgeron in there. Did you try to reach out to Coach Orgeron?
I did. We talked for a little while. I mean, he's obviously out recruiting, you know, busy recruiting now. But it's funny, you know, with him as well as several other coaches, say, hey, I'm, you know, going back on 2007, and it's like because they blur together a little bit. So I started running through the names, and he would, you know, throw out. He was like, "Well, I remember this." And there was one particular home visit that he and two of his assistants did in the Huntsville area, and it actually there was a cockfight on the visit. And the dad raised gamecocks, and literally he was like, "Oh, I remember the cockfight," you know, and it just. You know, there was just a lot of laughs of, man, I remember this, because I think, you know, it's 12 years ago, and he remembered certainly, you know, they pursued Joe McKnight and everything as hard as they did. And so I think, you know, sometimes football coaches don't get nostalgic too much, but, you know, like, I think for a lot of people to walk, you know, when they take a breath to kind of walk down memory lane, it brings out a lot of different memories. I mean, Frank Wilson, he's now the head coach at UTSA, and obviously, people in Louisiana remember him well. I said, you know, we started talking to a few people. I said, do you remember Robert Elliott? He was like, remember him? He was like, I remember me and Hugh Freeze hiding in the trees. They were trying to catch Mississippi State because they thought they were going to commit a violation on the last weekend of signing day, going to signing day. So, you know, it's just sometimes it can seem to be a farcical aspect of recruiting because there's so many layers to it. But like I said, it was fun to kind of reconnect with a lot of people on it.
Now, Houston Nutt, you wrote, went 18-8 with Ed Orgeron recruits. Do you think Ole Miss bailed on him too soon, not giving a chance for the recruits to come in? I mean, Ole Miss was not, you know, all that great for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, Houston got one more year than Orgeron did. He got 4 years, but the last year things had gotten so bad, he was 2-10. The recruiting wasn't there, and so... You know, when you go back and talk to guys on that staff, and even, you know, Ed himself had said, look, if we don't win fast enough, we're going to stop stocking the fridge for somebody else. And one of the guys I talked to last week, Dave Correa, who's now on the Detroit Lions staff, said that he used to joke with one of the other assistants, this is going to be the best job in the country to take over because it's going to be one of those cases where you buy low and sell high, you know, because they won 10 games in 3 years, and Houston not won 9 games in his first year taking over with all those players. You got to remember, Jevon Snead, who was probably the most important recruit in that 2007 class, he wasn't eligible because he was a transfer from Texas to play, so they didn't get a chance to coach him. Houston not did, and he had a big first year, and I think that helped to play a huge role in them turning it around, at least in the short term.
We're talking to Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, revisiting a meat market, the recruiting class, 2000 recruiting class of Ed Orgeron at Ole Miss. You did mention one tight end and another little local connection to that. He said, you can't fly north. I find that interesting because you would think they would be able to easily get kids from up north, me being one of them, and I like living south of I-10 because of that weather. Who was the tight end that they decided, well, they didn't get. They just couldn't get.
Well, it's the guy who turned out to be a big star. He wasn't a top 100 player. He was outside the top 100. But that tight end, who they heard from his teammate, had interest. And then when Art Keogh, the offensive line coach, who's a Pennsylvania native, you know, spent the money to fly up there and get a ticket, and that kid really didn't have interest. Well, that kid turned out to be Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski said he was coming to Clemson, and Billy Napier, now the Raging Cajuns head coach and the tight ends coach at the time, told everybody that Rob Gronkowski is going to announce Clemson, and then, of course, he announced Arizona at the last second.
Wow. Yeah, the nature of recruiting, everybody's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so's a silent commit forever. And they're like, yeah. You know, I think there's seen so many examples of stories of kids who said they were going to go one way and then, you know, did a 180. And, you know, that's the nature of recruiting. It's just that, like I said, the title meat market, I felt, was apropos because that's really what it is.
All right, so let's look ahead to college football now. You got a situation that continues to evolve over at Florida State. DeAndre Francois was tossed out of the program due to a video that was posted. Then it came out that it was not really about him. It was about her. Now I see that that's been hacked, and it really wasn't an apology. What's going on there at Florida State with Willie Taggart? And we'll talk about that on the other side of it as well. They bring in Kendall Briles to be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, the story you're talking about is crazy because of, like, you know, allegedly that woman posted some kind of, you know, mea culpa. And then later on, I remember looking at it last night before I went to bed. It was like, wait, that the account was hacked. I mean, you don't know what to believe. You know, you would think that this wasn't the first issue of questionable character that was alleged around DeAndre Francois. He's talented, but what's interesting as well, one of my colleagues at The Athletic, Sean Reed, had done a story about, and this is apropos of we're at signing day tomorrow, or signing day today, where you have Florida State, that class with DeAndre Francois was ranked number 3 in the country. And there's only 2 guys left in that, you know, left there from it. There's been a bunch of kids who just didn't pan out. 3 of the most high-profile guys in the class. 2 of them were Elite 11 quarterbacks. The 3rd was a 5-star wide receiver. Were booted for bad character issues. And I think it's just another reminder to take things with a grain of salt. And also, it's a good reminder to show how critical the character piece is when it comes to recruiting.
All right, let's wrap it up here with Bruce Feldman from The Athletic. What do you make of Southern Miss interviewing Art Briles for their offensive coordinator job?
You know, I'm surprised they would make this hire given, you know, that Briles was fired for as ugly a scandal as we've seen related to college football in a long time. I mean, there are some horrific allegations. It wasn't just Briles who was fired. It was the AD who was fired. Ken Starr, the head of the school, was also fired. I mean, there's still lawsuits in play. There's still an NCAA investigation that's playing out. You know, if you're Southern Miss, you're saying, do they really have to go this route? You know, if in fact they do go that route, because, you know, you'd seen the report saying that they're giving it some serious consideration. You know, it's one that, just given its college athletes, given what the allegations here, and there was a massive investigation done into it. So it's, you know, I don't know if you know, Southern Miss goes this route, and I get it. They have an interim AD right now. But I think it would be something that Southern Miss is going to be known for a while, when people think of Southern Miss football. And I just think that's something that they're going to get a ton of bad publicity. And I don't think, I don't think this is like 24 hours of bad publicity. I think this is going to be something that's going to linger for a while just because Art Briles' name is so toxic at this point.
Bruce Feldman.
If they go that route.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. We'll wait and see. Same. I got a feeling some boosters may step up and say, no, thank you. Bruce Feldman from TheAthletic.com. Check out the article revisiting the meat market with Ed Orgeron's 2007 class at Ole Miss. Bruce, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the success of The Athletic, and we'll have you on again sometime.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Blair, 7:32. Remember, your chance to win Christopher Cross tickets in Baton Rouge next Friday, coming up in the next 2 hours on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037. The Game.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Do we?
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Oh, Douglas, your fantasy is finally coming true. We're going to meet with a boy band.
Very funny. Not even close. No, no, no. No, the puerile sounds of boy bands are poison to my ears. And the only antidote is Steely Dan.
Ah, you like yacht rock.
Mm-hmm.
Shocker.
Even Primetime Podcast agrees with me. No matter what happens today, the class Ed Orgeron put together for 2019 is beyond impressive. There are multiple playmakers, both offensively and defensively. That's my editorial. Who will have an opportunity to make an impact from day one. I agree. Let's check out what you people think. We do the you people. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. And this is going to be spectacular. We got tickets to give away for Christopher Cross. Christopher Cross is coming to Baton Rouge next Friday. Coincidentally or not, Cody's getting married the same weekend. So I'm saying, you know, rehearsal dinner. And that's what I'm saying. I'm crashing the rehearsal dinner. You know, LSU and Cajuns baseball can wait till Sunday for me to cover them, you know.
See, the problem with that is, though, Dave, is right. That the venue also has a wedding the Friday night.
Right.
So the rehearsal dinner is actually on, like, Wednesday.
Well, we can go to Cane's on Friday. I do not care. All right. We go to Zaxby's, wherever you want to go.
Just get, yeah.
We go to Walk-On's.
It doesn't matter.
We just need a 5-song set. We'll be all set. All right.
That's funny.
You can dance to Arthur's theme.
Yeah.
I'll do background, right?
Right.
We're all set.
Close the show with sailing.
Absolutely. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111. Let's check out the Shut Up Dave poll questions. Good response so far. Does Coach O need to sign Ishmael Sopcich in order for this recruiting class to be success? Only 21% say yes. 53% say no. I'm with that. Would it be a great? Would it take it to the next level? Maybe so. But there's been a lot of guys that have been recruited. Tyler Shelvin, right, is there now. He played a lot. He actually played, in the bowl game and played pretty well. 26% telling me to shut up. 21% saying yes, it needs to be. All right. Should Anthony Davis play another game for the Pelicans? 22% say yes. 62% say no. 16% telling me to shut up. All right. I mean, there's just a ton going on. So, of course, you know what I'm going to talk about, Cody? And we'll keep you up to date if we get any signatures, obviously. I mean, again, it's a very odd National Signing Day, the way this has worked out with the early signing day, right? I mean, I think it's not a metaphor, but my comparison is pretty good, Cody, right? If the early signing day is Christmas Eve, and today is Christmas Day, and you get 25 presents, and you've opened up 21 of them on Christmas Eve. You got one big one on Christmas Day, and that's it. And we're waiting for that at 12:30, 2:30. So we're not going to get that now. We are following, obviously, all the LSU guys and the Cajuns and everything like that. So we'll see if LSU is announcing anyone who, you know, signs and faxes in there. Therefore, so of course we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. All right, I mean we got like less than a week before pitchers and catchers report. I mean some teams are reporting on the 10th, others are reporting on the 13th. Okay, the holdup is Bryce Harper and Machado. My issues with them signing is that they want this 8 to 10 year deal, all guaranteed, which if they can get that, good for them. But we've seen this before. We've seen these long-term, high-priced deals not work out. How's it worked out for the Angels and Pujols? Not so good. How did it work out for the Rangers and A-Rod? Not so good. I don't have a problem doing a short-term deal for a lot of money with Bryce Harper. Now, if I can go get Bryce Harper for 3 years, $100 million, or maybe I actually overpay for him, maybe how about, you know, if he wants $40 million, I'll give him $40 million for 3 years. My costs are set. I'm going to, you know, roll the dice that he's going to be healthy and Machado going to be healthy for the next 3 years. And guess what I get? I get 1 year where he's trying to prove the contract. I get another year where he's now relaxed. And then I get his contract year. We'll see what happens with these teams. I guess the White Sox have already made you know, a solid offer to, I thought it was Machado. Machado wants to play for the Yankees, so he's waiting for that to come. But the Yankees, I don't want to know if they're lowballing him, but are offering him less, apparently, than the White Sox. But if I'm a team, yeah, I got my costs fixed, and I'm not worried what Bryce Harper or Manny Machado are going to do when they're 34 or 35. I can deal with it when they're 26, 27, and 28. And plus, I'm going for it. So, like, if the Phillies want to do this, right? The Phillies got this nice young team. They came up a little short last year only because, well, they ran out of gas. But you throw a bat like that in their lineup, and the Phillies have added some pitching, and all of a sudden I'm going for it. I don't need to try to win, you know, in 2019. I don't need to try and be competitive or worry about 2027. I don't. Let's figure out how to be competitive in 2019, 2020, 2021. And here's the other thing. You know what's going to happen, Cody. Both Machado and Harper are going to have outs. Because Scott Boras learned from A-Rod. We're going to have a 10-year deal or an 8-year deal, and we're going to have an out on us after 3 years. Well, why would I do that if I'm a big league team? I'm going to give you the guaranteed contract and give you the out if we're not competitive? I'm going to give you a 3-year deal. I'll give you the money that you want. I'll give you $30, $35, $40 million. All right? It's a lot of money. It's going to take up a lot of space. But I don't have to deal with that over 8 to 10 years. And I can go all in now. You know, my fan base knows that I'm all in right now. You know, does anyone really believe that the Padres are in on this thing? Come on. I doubt it. And I don't know if the White Sox are there enough to, you know, actually contend or not. But the Phillies are. The Yankees seem to be on the cusp. I'm not a big fan of those 8 to 10-year deals. They put the Yankees in the backside before. You know, the Astros don't see to be involved, right? Would that be the worst thing in the world, Cody? Go get Bryce Harper for, you know, 3 years? Put that bat in the lineup? Aren't the Astros, like, missing some major parts, by the way? Right? I mean, who's the rotation?
I mean, Verlander, Cole.
And Wade Miley? And Josh James? That's four.
You got a good start.
There's someone else. Is Colin McHugh coming back into the rotation?
I mean, Patrick McClellan told us a couple weeks ago that the longer Dallas Keuchel stays unsigned,
right,
the higher the chances that he actually returns.
But everybody's staying unsigned.
Right.
I mean, most of these guys, you know, as soon as Harper and Machado are signed, foomp.
Right.
No, the dominoes will fall.
You would have thought that would have happened already.
Yes, you would have. Yes, you would have thought. Right. I don't mind a little patience, but again,
This is an entire offseason.
And let's be honest, all right? Spring training ain't like training camp. All right? Spring training ain't like NFL training camp, right? You are in camp all day long at NFL camp, right? You're doing film work. You're working out. You're doing practices, maybe two-a-days or whatever it is. You're there all day long, right? Yeah, baseball ain't like that. I mean, you realize, you know, spring training is like from 9 to noon, and then you're done, right? Guys are playing golf, right? Guys are doing, you know, public appearances. They're having fun. Interaction with fans. This is the one time that the guys are relaxed and having fun. Then the games start, and the games are, you know, early. So they got to get there at 9, take their batting practice, start at 1, and, you know, most of these guys are done by 2:30, at least for the first few weeks. Right? And then they get the running in, and then they take off. They're at happy hour. Spring training ain't the NFL, all right? It is not. So it's not one of those things where, you know, these guys are trying not to get to spring training. Most of these guys need spring training. Right, you know, Lawrence Taylor's like, yeah, I'm going to hold out. He doesn't need training camp, right? He needs like a week and a half to get ready. And maybe Lawrence Taylor is the exception. But, you know, a lot of these guys don't need training camp per se. A lot of these guys need spring training. You got to ramp up pitch count. That's A. And, you know, the hitters want about 50 at-bats, at least, which seems a little bit low, maybe 100 at-bats just to get ready, just to get their timing done, even though most of these guys do this year-round now, right? And for the Astros, we're worried about maybe a little Alex Bregman being ready for opening day. Is that the deal? Had a little elbow surgery. I think last month, no, 2 months ago, December. No. He's not going to be ready for spring training per se, but and I don't know if he'll be ready March 1st, but hopefully he'll be ready beginning of April. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. Let's check out those Twitter poll questions, at Dave1037TheGame, at 1037TheGame. We are also waiting to see if anybody signs with the Cajuns or LSU here. Sam Spiegelman will come up at 745 to talk about that. Does Coach O need to sign Ishmael Sopser in order for the recruiting class to be a success? 50% say no. 27% tell me to shut up. 23% saying yes. Should Anthony Davis play another? By the way, I said no. I think he's got a great recruiting class. I don't even care if it falls a couple of spots. If it goes up a couple of spots, great. I don't think Sopser would be interesting to see. And the only way it changes is if Sopser goes to LSU, because Bama's already number one. So if Sopser comes to LSU, does it pop up? You know, does he get any higher than five? Should Anthony Davis play another game for the Pelicans? 65% say no, which is the correct answer, and that's what I voted. 19% say yes, only 16% telling me to shut up. Again, they like that poll question, Cody. We figured that one out. All right. Anything less than 20% telling me to shut up, they like the poll question. All right. Again, 706-0111. 706-0111. Chris Blair coming up at 732. Oh, here you go. I mean, these guys aren't coming anytime soon, Cody. It's National Signing Day, Brody Miller. That's Brody the Great, Brody Alexander Miller. Here's the times. Byron Young at 8, Christian Williams at 8, Garmon Randolph 8:55, Maurice Hampton 9:30, Charles Moore 9:30, Jay Ward 12:05, Devontae Lee and Sopser 12:45. Now, this isn't happening during our show. And they got room for all of them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That seems to add up to 26. By my count, I was told there'd be no math. All right. Again, stay tuned. Your chance to win tickets to see Christopher Cross. Next time we play Christopher Cross, you got a chance to win two tickets. 706-0111. 706-0111. Back after this. Again, Chris Blair, 732. Mr. Spiegelman, 745. On Acadiana Sports Station, 1037. The Game. All right, obviously, no one posting anything for LSU. We heard Brody Miller. We told you Brody Miller announced when the LSU guys are starting to come around. So that won't be until 8 o'clock. And the Cajuns are just tweeting out guys who have already signed. Quentlin Cobb out of Kaplan, saw him play a lot. It'll be interesting to see where he plays. Now, I think he put on a lot of weight and slowed down between his junior and senior years as someone who watched him in both times. And here's the problem is that, you know, playing in 3A, he's going to dominate at his size. So you can't really tell. Is he a defensive tackle or a defensive end? And Cody's cold feet continuing to bother him. Another sharp pain in his neck. Is that a shut up Dave poll question? Is Cody's sharp pain in his neck just a sharp pain in his neck, or is he getting cold feet getting married? Yeah, that's a great question.
No, it's not.
Are you going to do that question?
I'll put it up, but yeah. I know the answer.
All right, you can say no. It's just a sharp pain in your neck.
Yeah, it's just this, and it's weird. It goes from like the base of my neck,
right,
like to like a little above my elbow. It's just like whole shoulder.
Are you having a pain shooting down your arm right now, Cody?
Oh, it's not like that.
Okay,
it's not like that. It's just this weird. Like it's like a muscle pack and
muscle spasms.
Yeah, because it'll go.
And this hasn't started until less than 2 weeks before you get married?
I mean, it started yesterday.
What a coincidence. Oh, it started yesterday even.
Yeah, now here come the text messages.
Less than 2 weeks before you're getting married.
You couldn't have waited 20 more minutes till she got to work? You had to bring it up now. Like, thank you, Dave. I appreciate
Kaylee,
it.
Kaylee, it's all me. He's denying it. But it is interesting. Have you ever had these pains before?
I mean, I've slept funny on my shoulder before.
Sure.
Yeah, but this is...
But
this,
I've never...
Yeah, this is a newish issue.
Right,
new-ish
new
kinda.
Issue, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's your subconscious.
I have no cold feet. I'm very warm.
Of course, you're talking to somebody who's on like a year and a half weekendless streak. So, you know, what the hell do I know?
I wear slippers to work.
By the way, I don't have any pain shooting down my neck.
And see, and actually right now, it's not, like, I can feel it.
Right.
But it's not terrible. But then give it 10 minutes and all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, I can't pick my arm up. It's a weird.
Oh, my God.
It's a weird pain. I mean, I'm exaggerating a little, obviously, but
sure.
Like, it's not that as bad.
It's like a spasm type deal or?
Oh, it's like a stabbing kind
of. Oh, okay. Like, this is getting good. Do we need to call the EMS or anything like that?
No. We're fine.
Okay.
We're fine.
Just, all right.
I may do some funny stretches.
I don't have the Advil with me.
Well, I took some yesterday.
Okay. How'd that work out?
And it didn't really help.
Cold feet? It's your subconscious. It's not really a pain at all. It's just all mental.
No, I don't know. Maybe that would be funny if it actually, if there was no pain. It was just.
It's all in your head.
Right. But I don't think, no. It's
okay.
It's a little shoulder pain. That's
a little shoulder pain.
Nothing too serious. Okay. Here.
All right. Let's see. UL, Tyler Guidry, I think he was already, he's out of Southern Lab. I think he already committed as well. Again, they're just posting guys that have already committed back in National Signing Day. Let's see here. We'll find out where the Cajuns finish up. They're at 67 now. They were at 69 over the weekend. Yeah, Tyler Guidry already signed. So they're just, Cajuns are just tweeting just to tweet, which is fine, but nothing new. All right. They Franklin committed, Lacamion Franklin, which is a great name, out of Neville, another Monroe kid. King McGowan, also a good name, out of Willis, Texas. He committed like 2 days ago, Monday. Jabraylon Spencer committed over the summer but didn't sign. We'll see if he's coming. All right, Tyler Brown out of St. Joseph Catholic committed on December 4th, but he hasn't signed. All right, J.V. Maglia, he's the quarterback. He committed on the 19th of last month. Andrew Gleason committed 2-4. Is that the out of West Monroe? And A.J. Gilley. Committed Monday as well. Is A.J. Gleason, Andrew Gleason, the kid that had no offers and then like had four or five?
Right. One offer, then brought in multiple others.
I mean, that's how it works, right? I mean, he went to, yeah, there it is. So, I mean, he was getting no love at all, and then the Cajuns came calling. He got blessed to receive a preferred walk-in at TCU. ULM Monroe came calling. So, now he's a little bit small, right? Is he a little bit small, Cody? He's a little bit small, right? To be a defensive end, 6'3", 230. At least 20 more pounds, right? Or did he move into linebacker, which is good size for that.
Right, depends on how fast he is, right? I guess, at that point.
That's right. That's right. He was defensive MVP for District 2-5A. It does not say here that he's committed.
Sounds like there's a lot of potential or raw talent or a high ceiling, whatever cliche you want to go with. He's a work in progress, but
right.
I think they see the ceiling
well,
as high.
He's listed. It's funny. On Rivals, he's listed at 6'3", 230. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, his own Twitter feed, he's listed at 6'3", 240.
Well, I mean, it's either, you know, the Twitter adds 10 pounds or he's actually put on a little
right.
weight.
Or else he's 6'1", 185 in real life, right?
Right.
6'3 is pretty good size, though. That's nice size.
And it reminds me of like a Barkevious Mingo or a Kalevon Chaisson, maybe a little shorter. Maybe. I don't know exactly how tall Kalevon is. I know Barkevious, he was like 6'5", 6'6", I felt like. He was super skinny. He was rail thin.
Right.
But, I mean, it's kind of that similar body type is what I think, at least, when I hear that.
Let's see. Chaisson, 6'4", 238.
Well,
I mean, that's exactly
similar.
What this kid is.
Yeah, very similar.
Right? Almost, right? Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. So maybe I'm wrong. And he's in the SEC. Although, you know, be wondering, you know, these guys get weighed and measured, like, day one.
Right.
So he was he 6'4", 238, like, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when he stepped on campus?
Right. What was he at kickoff of game one when they started? Right,
right, right, right. Or when he showed up at camp. And so what is, you know, do they all do actually weigh in, right, day one of camp. They'll weigh in at spring camp, right?
Right.
And then they'll have goals to reach for day one of fall camp. Now, I wonder if that's still 6'4", 238. Also, do you see the pictures of Tom Brady?
I don't think so.
He's got baby fat when he was winning the first Super Bowl.
Huh.
He's got, you know, I'm not saying he needs to have a six-pack, but I'm just saying you can see his face slim down. TB12.
I mean, avocado ice cream.
No. Blech. Sorry, no matter how much I love Tom Brady, I am not going after the avocado.
No TB12 method. No, no.
I got the book, too, actually. I got the book. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111. Let's check out the, again, the Twitter poll questions. We got a good one. You going to put that one up, Cody, or you don't? Oh, you did put it up? All right. He put it up. All right. Is Cody's shoulder pain real or just him getting cold feet less than 2 weeks before his wedding? I should vote Shut Up Dave, but we'll do cold feet. Yeah. Shut Up Dave should clearly win that. Did you vote Shut Up Dave or did you vote real?
I will in this break here.
You should vote Shut Up Dave. All right, that should actually win it. All right, although 20% are saying real. All right, and 40% cold feet. All right, back after this with the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. They are in Starkville to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs, see if they can bounce back from a tough loss against Arkansas. Next on the Yacht Rock Sports Chat, 103.7 The Game. All right, while we're efforting Chris Blair, all right, your chance to win Christopher Cross tickets. He's coming to Baton Rouge, the Bears, February 15th. We got a pair of tickets for you. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. We can announce your name or not announce your name if you don't want anybody to know that you like Christopher Cross. But, you know, we like Christopher Cross. And we're proud to say it. All right? We got five pairs of tickets throughout the show to give away. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. We are still efforting Mr. Blair, kind of hit and miss when he's on the road, because I don't blame him being a guy on the road. And, again, with the kids at home, that's the chance to sleep in. That's the one time to sleep in. But he was ready last week, right? Wasn't it on the road last week? Last week was on the road. And then you get the free breakfast. All right. I thought we were going to have two Georgia Southern voices on, right? The former voice of Georgia Southern, Chris Blair, and the current voice of Georgia Southern, Danny Reed. Danny Reed is up, by the way. He's up and about, probably hitting the gym. Cajuns taking on Georgia Southern, looking to bounce back from, boy, not one bad loss, two bad losses. I'm sorry. It's just two bad losses. They got blown out at App State. And Bob Marlin talking about the elevation, that would be a good thing. And there's a nice sign how far, you know, how high you are. But that's not going to hit you, Cody, until, you know, the second half. That's when you have a tough time breathing. Not in the first 5 minutes of the game, I would think. And so they bailed. They didn't bail, but they got blown out, not only in the first half, but in the second half. Then they put up a little battle in the second half against Coastal, but they got blown out by them as well. And yet, they're only three games out of first place, and they can make up some serious ground against Georgia schools. They're one game behind Georgia Southern all of a sudden. Georgia Southern was off to a great start. They're 5-4. Cajuns are 4-5. You go from 6th to tied for 5th with a win tonight. If ULM can help out the Cajuns and beat out Georgia State, then you're only two games behind Georgia State. You beat Georgia State, then you're one game behind Georgia State. So a couple of big wins for the Cajuns. And then ULM comes here, which should be a winnable ball game, although ULM's pretty good. Let's see if they can turn things around. Jakeenan Gant is off to it. It's just that, well, not more than a start. We are, what, halfway through the season now? More than halfway through the season, just halfway through the conference. And he's having a tremendous year. Didn't have a great game against App State. Bounced back in the second half against Coastal. I mean, 27-12 is ridiculous. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm impressed. All right, last year, again, with Bryce Washington, Jonathan Stove, even Stroman and Bartley, he's kind of the afterthought. And I don't know if he fit into the offense, actually. You know, kind of a garbage guy. Someone to get an offensive rebound, put it back, a little bit of an alley-oop dunk. There wasn't a whole lot of offense per him, from him per se. Like, it wasn't a set play. Let's get him an open three, let him drive to the basket or post him up or something along those lines. So, you know, this year, you know, can he take it to the next level, you know, from 12 to 15 to 18? I mean, is he a 20 yet, Cody? He had the one bad ball game, but he's been outstanding. And we need other guys, or we need the Cajuns, need other guys to step up when that's the case. Let's see, where are the stats here? Because he's been fantastic. Certainly got to be averaging more than 20 points in conference play. He's averaging over 20 points a game as it is, 20.9 points a game. You know, and it is a shame that Marchetti got hurt. It is. You know, that's not an excuse. That's a reason. All right. No one wants to hear it per se, but when you lose Malik Marchetti, who can defend the other guys, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4, or exactly maybe the 2 guard or the 3, you know, small shooting forward, or maybe even the point guard if it comes to that later on in the game. You know, that's a big deal. He's still second. Think about that. He's been out for most of the conference, if not all of the conference, right? They were playing Southeastern when he got hurt. So right before conference play, he's still second on the team in scoring, 15 a game. And hasn't played 9 games. Justin Miller's average has gone down. He was up to double digits. He's now down to 9.9. Oh, they need to find some other scoring, and maybe the 3-point touch will come back to P.J. Hardy and Marcus Stroman. All right, we're still efforting Chris Blair. That seems to have, well, the ship has sailed, as Christopher Cross may say. All right, because Sam Spiegelman is going to come up here at 7:45 and see where we are. Again, I haven't seen. Let's see here. Again, the Cajuns are tweeting out Jax Harrington, but he's a big offensive lineman from Erath, I think. Yeah, he blocked for the Cajuns running back. So they haven't retweeted anybody new signing yet. And again, Billy Napier scheduled to be on with Ben Love later today. We'll be out at National Signing Day. They're having a deal, 12:30 open press conference, so that should be interesting, Cody, trying to ask questions, you know, with the public there, which is okay, but it, you know, that's fine. It is what it is. You couldn't have, odd, just the way it worked out, you couldn't have one of those National Signing Day deals where there's a big party because there's a basketball game. You don't want to take away from the basketball game for a National Signing cocktail party, right? So you don't want to be doing that. So we're waiting on that. And as Brody Miller, let's see, he's up and about. Byron Young isn't expected to announce until 8 a.m. So you still have a few minutes on that. All right. Let's check out the poll questions because, again, everybody's just waiting for stops here. I felt there was more confidence in Devontae Lee coming than I thought in Sops here. And who was the isn't there a quarterback that's flipping? Who's the cornerback that's flipping, Cody? Flipping from Alabama to LSU, according to Scarborough. All right, does Coach O need to sign Ishmael Sops here in order for the recruiting class to be a success? 51% says no. I agree with that. 27% says yes. That's growing. 22% telling me to shut up. Should Anthony Davis play another game for the Pelicans? He was healthy to play a couple of nights ago, and the Pelicans said, no, thank you. They got another game tonight. I don't think he's playing, and I don't think he's playing again. All right. Again, John Wall, if you haven't heard the news, ruptured his Achilles at home, allegedly. Either way, he did rupture it. He's out for the year and out for next. Pelicans are not taking that chance with Anthony Davis. 63% say no, 21% say yes, only 16 telling me to shut up. And the best Shut Up Dave poll question in the history of Shut Up Dave poll questions is, Cody's shoulder pain real, or is he just getting cold feet less than 2 weeks before his wedding? Cody, only 21% is saying that it's real. Only 21% is buying it. 32% think it's cold feet, although 47% are telling me to shut up.
George Pickens is the name of the recruit that you're looking for.
Okay, all right.
They're wrong.
Kaylee can't vote more than once, is it? She can't vote more than once.
She texted me and she was like, how do I vote multiple times?
Yeah, I can't do
like,
that.
You can't.
Oh my God! Christopher Cross retreated me!
Yay!
The show is over!
Wrap it up.
Mic drop! All right.
This is a big day.
We're done.
This is a big day.
How do you come back from that? You know how we come back from that? Sam Spiegelman from Rivals in Yahoo. Unbelievable. I mean, I had Derek Stingley Jr. like to tweet. And now Christopher Cross doing the same thing. All right. Spiegelman is up and about. He's up next on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. He will be like sheep. All right. Another pair of tickets to give away. If you want to see Christopher Cross, I'm shaking, Cody. He retweeted my tweet. It's like when Sam Spiegelman retweets my tweet.
It's like when Jeff Jarrett retweeted that stupid wrestling tweet we did that one time.
Give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. Your chance to win a couple of tickets to Christopher Cross at L'Auberge in Baton Rouge next Friday night. Let's go out and talk a little recruiting, shall we, with Sam Spiegelman. I thought it would be samspiegs.com by now, but you did one of those, another personal ones. I don't know where you work now. Where do you work and for whom?
I work for Rivals, and I cover everything from Louisiana to Texas and in between, I guess.
How far we'll Texas? Texas is a big state.
It is a big state. Yeah. I got the whole thing in my back pocket. Though.
The whole thing. So El Paso.
you name it, I got it.
Oh, goodness. All right. That's a lot of travel in Texas. Okay. Let's start off the Shut Up Dave. First Shut Up Dave poll question was, I think, even though it's fallen a couple of spots, Ed Orgeron's put together a great class. The only problem is the guys ahead of him are all in the SEC or Texas who he plays. Does he need stops here to solidify this class, or is it already pretty good as is?
If you look at this, getting guys, Trey Palmer, Derek Stingley Jr., John Emery, if we'll see what happens today as well, but if Cardell Thomas, these are some of the guys ranked not only at the top of the list in Louisiana, but at their positions across the entire country. These are top 30 kids across America. They just happen to be in LSU's backyard. Sure, Ishmael Sopcich is an amazing cherry to put on top, getting one of the top defensive tackles in all the country and getting a big boom out of A-Meat, which is LSU has not received a player from A-Meat since 2002. But all things considered, getting, you know, the JUCO defensive end the other day, getting Joseph Evans and Apu Ika at the early signing period, that was a major commitment. Getting Rashard Lawrence and Braden Fajoko back for their senior seasons, they will be just fine with or without Sopcich, but getting him is just so much better for publicity and for the defensive line of the future, the next wave of Rashard Lawrence's and Braden Fajoko's.
What way do you think he's leaning?
As of last night, I think it's about 55-45 in favor of Alabama.
Okay.
I can't say with any, you know, definitive measure that he is sure to go to Alabama. I could say that 2 weeks ago at this time, it was all Alabama.
Oh, really?
And LSU has closed the gap. Ed Orgeron went in home with him last Thursday. They had 4 days together with that and the official visit. LSU has given them a lot of things to think about, and they're not going away. I expect this decision to go right up to 12:45 Central.
So you don't think he's actually made up his mind yet?
No, I don't think he's fully
one
way or the other yet.
Oh, I mean, now, I mean, Sam, I don't know, you know, like me trying to buy, I get a headache trying to buy a car or a TV, right? I can't imagine trying to make this decision, and I got nobody, you know, pointing a camera in my face. I would literally throw up trying to do this if someone had a camera in my face where I'm going to go to college. I would throw up.
Well, here's the point. It's Alabama sent its best recruiters. You got Nick Saban, Pete Golding, who recruits Louisiana, and Sam Petito, who's from A&M. For LSU, you got Coach O, you got Coach DJ, and you got Dave Aranda. He cannot go wrong either way.
Right.
What he's weighing is go to Alabama. You for sure will play in a national championship and possibly and likely win one as long as Nick Saban is there. And you'll probably get drafted very high in the NFL draft when you're ready to go. At LSU, same thing, you know, where you're going to get drafted down the road. Where the LSU views this 2019 class as the class that puts them in the championship conversation. If Ishmael Sopcich signs at LSU today, people will talk about them competing for a playoff spot in 2019. The only thing that LSU can sell them on is that if the football thing, when the football thing is over, life after football, when you go to LSU and you stay home for college,
right,
it's much easier to network and get a job as opposed to when you go out of state. It's a Mickey Joseph's pitch since he went to Nebraska and came to LSU. You know, it's harder to get jobs when you leave the state, and that's the one X factor, I think, that the Sopsers are weighing right now.
I mean, that is cutthroat as it gets. I heard about that a couple of years ago, and that is as cutthroat as it gets. That people hold it against you forever. Forever.
Forever. I mean, this is how long has Ish been among the number one prospects in the state, among the best prospects in the country. He's a defensive lineman. To Coach O's credit, he has always gotten the best defensive lineman in Louisiana as long as he's been at LSU, when he was Les Miles' defensive line coach, dating back to Rashard Lawrence and Ed Alexander, who are now, you know, going back for their senior year, going to the NFL. He has a track record of pulling this off. Now, this is the most biggest spotlight on it, and it's probably the biggest one because it's from a meet. And he's the head coach now, but you can't rule out Ed Orgeron when it comes to a talented defensive lineman at any point, and that's the case we have today.
All right, what about Devontae Lee? Others seem to be more confident he's headed to LSU.
Yeah, you know, at a certain point, Kentucky made a really good run. He almost went back to Kentucky on his own merit drive, you know, what is it, 12 hours to get to Lexington. But he ended up not making the trip. That's a testament to Mickey Joseph and the way he's recruited not only Devontae, but his mom, who is a huge figure in his life. They are a very close little family out there in a meet. He'll have hats from about 18 different schools on the table today. I know that he wanted Alabama, Auburn, A&M, LSU, Kentucky. It's between LSU and Kentucky, and Kentucky is cautiously optimistic. But this seems to be a lock for LSU, in my opinion. And that'll be the first A&M player to LSU, in my opinion, since Lester Ricard in 2002.
All right, so after those two guys, who should LSU fans be looking towards?
Got to keep an eye on a couple of defensive linemen. If Sopcher picks Alabama, LSU would like to get another defensive lineman. I don't know if they can flip Byron Young, who's been committed to Alabama since July, but it's worth monitoring. It's also worth monitoring Charles Moore, who's all from Louisville, Mississippi. He's looking at Auburn and Florida and Mississippi State, but I know that LSU was on the phone with him and his camp last night. You know, if you're not going to get stops, you're getting Charles Moore is a nice plan, 1B. Jay Ward is a guy that they had on campus in December. They had their eyes on Christian Williams, who's also currently committed to Alabama, but he's not going to stick with them. There's been a discrepancy about position in the secondary. If Williams is out, which it looks like it is, Jay Ward is a prospect to keep an eye on, to pluck away from Kentucky. And then last, keep an eye on Ray Parker. You know, he didn't sign in December. He's been committed since October. If there's an extra spot, it might be worth monitoring what LSU does with him. Does he take the JUCO route? Does he sign with LSU and play offensive tackle? Does he play tight end? Does he end up in Tennessee? It's the biggest mystery because the kid has no social media. He doesn't do interviews. It's probably the one true mystery left for National Signing Day.
All right, to wrap it up with rivals and Yahoo's Sam Spiegelman, you mentioned how Coach O was going after Sopcher. How much, because they've had most of this done for a while now, how much have they gone towards 2020 and beyond?
Huge amount, huge amount. And that's something that they've done year after year is you sign, you know, almost 80% of your class before Christmas. That gives you January on the road to, of course, you know, stop by the six or seven remaining targets in your current recruiting class. But also get your foot in the door and start giving out new offers, make new evaluations, and get these new juniors on campus. They've had a couple of visitors from 2020s in the past month. So, you know, if you have three defensive linemen taking official visits, you know, the week before signing day, you know, obviously Dennis Johnson and Coach O are going to be busy. But why not get some 2020 wide receivers and tight ends and running backs on campus? And they've done that very effectively. They're getting their feet, you know, a little wet to start these junior days next month in February and March. And they've already come off to a really hot start in 2020 based on their 20, 2018 season, their 2019 recruiting class, and they're just going to take it and run with it from here on out.
Yeah, they also got a future. Either he's already a character in a best-selling novel and movie, or he will be Fitzgerald West from LCA. That is an outstanding name.
It is a great name. Yeah. I can't even tell you that as someone who has their name published on websites,
right,
how jealous I am of a name that's, like Fitzgerald West.
That's a great name. He just may put it, he may just not even have to write out the pages, just put it on a cover in a book and just sell it. Because buy Fitzgerald
sure
West.
A couple of purchases that way.
You know what? People just buy it. Sam Spiegelman, I appreciate it. I told you, you come through here through I-10, I got lunch at Prejean's, all right?
You got it, man.
I appreciate it. Sam Spiegelman. Congrats on Rivals and Yahoo and joining us on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Still not over that Christopher Cross retweeted and liked my tweet. Still not over. All right, Brian Bieniemy won't be too hot coming up talking Pelicans after this. 103.7 The Game.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super genius.
It's on right now.
Oh, hi, I'm Hollywood Steve. You caught me relaxing in my music nook. From 1976 to 1984, the radio airwaves were dominated by really smooth music, also known as yacht rock. These yacht rockers docked a remarkable fleet of number one hits, and every song has a story behind it. Let me tell you one.
Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, on a Wednesday morning Yacht Rock Sports Chat. Danny Reed going to join us, talk a little Georgia Southern there in town to take on the Cajuns. Chris Gordy, 8:32. We'll get his take on the Super Bowl, the Saints, the Rockets, the Pelicans. Your chance again, that was Christopher Cross. He's coming to Baton Rouge, and he retweeted me and liked my tweet. I think the day has peaked. At like 7:30, at 7:45. The day peaked when he did that. So if you want tickets, two tickets to see Christopher Cross at Baton Rouge at LeBears, 706-0111, on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, be the fifth caller. We got this and two more pairs to give away today. The day gets better, all right? Obviously kidding when I say the day peaked because this is going to be good. He's on the phone. He's on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Brian Bieniemy from 100.3 New Orleans. Morning, sunshine. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. And I was just about to tell you how quickly your day went down because I'm on.
Ha, no way. I didn't. And I told Cody this yesterday. I didn't really want to pick a fight with you because I was rooting for the Saints to be there. I was upset the Saints weren't being there. But you took it to another level when you tweeted out the Saints would have whipped the Patriots.
Yeah, I did. I kind of knew I was going to stir up a hornet's nest when I did that.
But. Right.
Yeah, it was simply just, and Jeff, I thought it would be a really good game if the two played. Now, would the Saints have won that game? I'm assuming by maybe 10 points at the most.
They could have.
Yeah, but it's only based on what I've seen. I didn't even watch the game. It's based on what I've seen from the highlights and the stats. I would assume the Saints would have given the Patriots a better game.
It would have been a more exciting game, I guess, but I took the whipped part of it and,
I think I might have put that in just for you.
I very well could have been, because I was just kind of kidding back and forth, and, you know, people think I was taking shots at the Saints. I really wasn't. It's more like taking shots at you is what I was doing.
That's natural.
That's right. We have the back and forth. All right, meanwhile, has AD played his final game for the Pelicans?
You know what, Dave? I'll be honest. I think from the Pelicans' perspective, the answer should be yes. But at this point, I think for Anthony Davis, he should try to do anything he can to get on the court right now, because just yesterday, the entire national media basically came out and you know, pulling their hair out, asking, well, what are the Pelicans doing, asking for four first-round picks and the Lakers' young talent? Anthony Davis isn't that good. I think Anthony Davis needs to get on the court to remind people, yes, I am, actually. I'm, you know, a top-five NBA player. I'm a generational talent. And once he steps on the court again, whether that be for the Pelicans or elsewhere, people will quickly remember that he is.
Yeah, but, I mean, those first four-round picks are not going to be great picks, right? Those are all going to be non-lottery picks. They all could be, you know, 25th and worse, as the case may be. It's not exactly like, you know, the Sixers trading away the Miami pick that's going to be a lottery pick.
Totally agree with that, Dave. I have no idea why people are, you know, kind of, you know, putting up the, you know, this wall about whether or not the Pelicans should get those picks. Because, again, as you said, if Anthony Davis is the player we all assume, and then he has LeBron James to go along with him, you would think that those picks would be in the latter part of the draft. And, of course, as we all know, following the NBA, the only time you really get anything good, more likely than not, and most of those guys are a bust, is if you get a draft pick in the lottery. And even some of those guys that were paying out, Markelle Fultz would be a great example of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a disaster that is. That was always one I was wondering. And I didn't even, you know, I thought Markelle Fultz was good, but if you're going to play Ben Simmons at point guard, although Ben Simmons was hurt that year, what are you going to do with Markelle Fultz? And, you know, I don't. You're lucky if you get a, you know, a dozen basketballs from Markelle Fultz now. It's Brian Bannamy from 100.3 in New Orleans on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, so it appears yesterday, I don't know if you've been following it on the Twitter, but, you know, I can only go by that. It seems that yesterday's Clippers trade from Tobias Harris and some players for those draft picks from the Sixers and some players, both sides are thrilled. It's unbelievable. So it's not about the Pelicans trying to win the trade. It's about to get fair market value, more along the lines, let's be honest. It's about the Pelicans not losing the trade. But if the Clippers can get a win-win, whereas they get the draft picks, they get rid of some salary, they have open salary for next year, so they may be able to sign, you know, some guy named Kawhi and or a KD, and maybe they get, now they got a couple of draft picks, they can go get 80. It seems like yesterday's, late last night's trade between the Clippers and the Sixers, both sides are happy. Can't that happen with the Pelicans and whomever they trade, make a trade with?
I would think so, depending on the team. I think at any point, no matter what happens with the Pelicans and the Lakers, I think somebody is going to walk away from that deal feeling like they didn't win the deal. And maybe that's a good thing for both sides if you don't feel like you won, because if you're giving up so much, I mean, the Lakers would have to give up half of Hollywood, you know, a part of Rodeo Drive, and every In-N-Out burger in the state just to get Anthony Davis. And if you're going to do that, then you better make sure you have it correctly. And for the Pelicans, you're taking a young haul, but those some of those young players may not be willing to be Pelicans. It reminds me a lot of the Eric Gordon situation when he came over, and the idea that he really didn't want to come to New Orleans. He really liked being in L.A. So I think that's the risk that the Pelicans run trading with the Lakers or even the Boston Celtics. But I think the Knicks should be the team that the Pelicans want to trade with, especially if they can land that first pick. And the Clippers should be, you know, on the list as well, because Anthony Davis wants to be in L.A. It just may not go where you want to be.
But here's the other thing that I don't get about the Lakers, because apparently everybody thinks Anthony Davis is going to be with the Lakers. Why are the Lakers mortgaging the whole team to get AD now? Do they think he's going to pull a Paul George and not want to come? Because everybody thinks he's going to end up there in a year and a half. Why are they going to give away the whole team and the future, if you will, all those draft picks, to get AD when he's going to end up there anyway?
It's exactly what you said, Dave. I think they're a little bit frightened. Number one, I think Magic maybe have, you know, put his foot in his mouth when he said, I guarantee we'll get two stars within the next 2 years, or I'll quit. You won't have to fire me. I think he kind of put, you know, he put himself under the gun in that situation. And I definitely think they're panicking because they know a team like the Knicks, should they be able to land the AD via trade? Kyrie Irving has always said he wanted to be a Knick, so I think that's a possibility. You get those two guys, and maybe New York starts to look a little bit more attractive to guys like Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant. You know, maybe those types, and you build a super team there, which would help the league, it helped the Knicks, and of course, it helped guys like Anthony Davis, who wants to be a brand versus just being another guy.
Now, what about, and I think Paul George kind of liked this, all right? So just based on his decision, I am absolutely playing the results, right? He played in, he was under the radar in college, played at Indiana, where, you know, for Indianapolis, it's a nice market, but it's not New York, Chicago, or L.A. Then he goes to Oklahoma City and realizes, you know what, I got half the media I have to deal with here. So, you know, you can go under the radar. Russ Westbrook, hey, dude, you can have a regular life here in Oklahoma City compared to being under the microscope in some of these big markets. It also seems like AD may be that kind of guy. You know, he is a homebody. Did anybody ever see him out in New Orleans? It's tough to miss. He's never out. It just seems like he would do well in a market where he is not under the microscope. Again, I'm only doing that based on what I see.
Well, if you you look at Anthony Davis' attitude on the court, he's not an alpha dog. He's not that me, rah-rah type of guy. I really believe when Anthony Davis came out this summer and started pounding his chest a little bit saying, I'm the best player in the NBA, I kind of think that was a marketing ploy done by Clutch Sports to kind of help him with his marketing and his endorsement brands, because Anthony Davis, top five player in the NBA, doesn't have a signature shoe, doesn't really have a lot of endorsement deals. But I tend to lean on the side of Shaquille O'Neal when he said, if you're a bad boy and you can make it happen, you'll get the endorsements no matter where you are. And for Anthony Davis, you're potentially turning down $300 million right now. You know, I think he said he's going to kind of, you know, maybe play out next year anyway, so he'll still get his money. But I don't understand why you need the endorsements when you're going to get $300 million anyway. You'll never spend that money in your lifetime. Granted, I know more money is always good, but I mean, I don't see the need to be in L.A. to manage to make that happen, because I think you can do the same thing in a town like Milwaukee if you're good enough, or maybe, I don't know, New Orleans where you were drafted.
Right, right. It'll be very interesting to see. If they can fall to the fifth or sixth seed, and I think they can in terms of the lottery, they got a shot. It'll be very interesting to see what happens. And I'm all conspiracy theory, so I fully believe the Knicks are going to get the number one draft pick because, well, that's what the NBA wants. But maybe the Pelicans get that pick. If they can fall to the fifth spot or the sixth spot, they got a shot. So this may I may end up being the first time that Shut Up Dave wins a poll question, but this is last week we asked it, and I think it was Shakira, you know, my sometime co-host, asked it, who would be the leader if Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant ended up on the same team? Brian, Shut Up Dave won the poll question. First time ever. Only 19% said AD and 37% said KD. That's it.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It really is.
That is amazing. But it kind of shows both of those guys' hearts, because I think Kevin Durant can be more of a lead dog. I think because he kind of had that old wrestling heel turn once he became a member of the Golden State Warriors. So maybe he could do it. I don't know. I think Kevin Durant is a lot, you know, don't get me wrong, I think he's an absolutely great player, probably the second best in the NBA. But I also think he's very protected in Golden State, because if you take away Kevin Durant, you still have to stop Klay, you have to stop, you know, Steph Curry, who are also two of the top, you know, 10 players in the NBA as well, along with Draymond Green and now Boogie Cousins. I think he's very protected there, and I don't think he gets that same protection with an Anthony Davis. But I'd love to see it happen, especially in New York, because I think it's great for the NBA if it happens. And Anthony Davis isn't in the West where the Pelicans would have to contend. Also, there's this guy named Zion Williamson who could possibly be a member of the Pelicans and kind of rebrand them under him. I think it's just a win for everybody if he ends up in New York. And I'd love to see, I'd personally fly to see him at a press conference the first time Joel Embiid drops 40 on his neck. I'd love to see the New York media get on him.
I'll also say this, all right? Obviously, Zion Williamson is this great athlete. If the Pelicans end up with R.J. Barrett, it ain't that bad. I think R.J. Barrett.
You ain't lying about that one.
He may be a better NBA player. I, you know, everyone loves Zion Williamson's athleticism. They're not exactly sure how much he weighs. They're not exactly sure how tall he is. He's kind of a tweener, and his shot needs work. Again, there's a lot of greatness about Zion Williamson, but R.J. Barrett may have a better NBA career. We'll see. All right, so let's wrap it up here with Brian Bieniemy. Who else? I mean, do they clean house here? They got just over about 30 hours or something like that. You know, is Julius Randle gone? Etuan Moore gone? You know, who else do they trade? Is Mirotić gone?
I think all of those guys are actually on the market right now. I think the Pelicans are trying to gauge it. The Philadelphia 76ers trading for Tobias Harris really hurts the Pelicans, because that was a team in which I could see Nico Mirotić going to provide some outside shooting and kind of help those guys, you know, open up the floor a little bit, because Ben Simmons can't shoot, and Joel Embiid is a 7-foot big man who all he wants to do is, you know, play back to the baskets. He wants to kind of get outside to show his range, but he's better down low. So I think Mirotić could help that out. Julius Randle is the enigma in that whole situation, because he has that player option. And I think if you're going to package him with the Etuan Moore, you might be able to salvage something and get yourself some type of net return. But at this point, I think the Pelicans are having a fire sale. Who goes and where they go, I have no idea, to be honest with you, Dave, because Anthony Davis has taken up so much of Dell Demps' attention.
That's very true. All right, Brian Bieniemy, I appreciate it, my friend. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love the NBA soap opera. It is the best thing in sports.
Oh, shut up, Dave.
Ha-ha! Yeah! Well played. Although, Cody, this one not going in your direction there, brother. This one not going in your direction. All right. It's Cody's shoulder pain, which is still bothering him, by the way. He's making faces in there while I'm doing these interviews. Is the pain real or just him getting cold feet less than 2 weeks before his wedding? 47% cold feet.
47% trolls. That's all they are. They're all trolls, all of them.
32% telling me to shut up. Only 21% saying real.
How many burner Twitter accounts do you have, Dave?
I am going to be in big trouble at that wedding. Cody, I can't find my, name tag. Yeah. Shut up, Dave, and leave.
What are you doing here?
Who are you? I don't know who you are. Security, escort
him. Excuse me. Someone's trying to crash my wedding.
Security. All right. Let's talk some Cajuns basketball. Danny Reed joining us next. The voice of Georgia Southern on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. Two more pairs of tickets to see Christopher Cross at Baton Rouge in LaBerge, or the other way around. In LaBerge and Baton Rouge. 706-0111. 706-0111. Be the fifth caller. Win two tickets to see Christopher Cross in Baton Rouge at LaBerge. All right, Chris Gordy going to come up here 8:32. Talk a little Houston sports and get his take at the Super Bowl. He was there. I wasn't. I'm not happy about it. Let's do a little Cajuns preview. Taking on Georgia Southern. An odd Wednesday-Friday deal. The Eagles in town tonight. Cajuns already beaten them one time, a kind of a come-from-ahead victory, built a big lead, saw it evaporate, and then hit free throws down the stretch to pull that out. Danny Reed, the voice of the Eagles, joins us. Good morning, Danny. How are you?
Dave, good morning, man. What's going on?
Well, just to let you know, hold on here. I had it, and I misplaced it. The one of the defensive linemen for LSU is not coming. Byron Young is sticking with Alabama, just to let you know. All right, that's the first bit of news today. It's National Signing Day. It's a big deal around here. Big deal.
I appreciate that.
All right, what's going on with Georgia Southern? They seem to come back to the middle of the pack. What's going on?
It's one of those where they're not going to have trouble scoring when you're better than 83 a game, just a tick ahead of the Cajuns for number one in the conference, but they have had some issues on defense ever since the first six games of the season. They've had trouble guarding the basketball. It's led to some buckets, not just in a half court, but they've had some trouble with their transition defense as well. And one of the issues that plagued them towards the end of non-conference play and the beginning of league play is they just kept getting down by big deficits. Now, to their credit, a lot of times they were coming back, but they had a seven-game stretch where they were trailing by at least 10 points in each game, and they won three of them. So that's a story in and of itself. But they've found a way the last couple of games to minimize the bigger deficits and start out a little bit better. Granted, last week against Georgia State, where the Eagles have not won up in Atlanta in 27 years. I mean, it was a tie game. It was a tie game with under 4 minutes to play. State was able to close the game out. Georgia Southern couldn't get the shots to go at the end, and that was really similar to how the first game against the Cajuns went. Cajuns, though, built that big 17-point lead in Hanner. Georgia Southern came back, took its own lead, then it went back and forth for a couple of minutes, and they led with about 140 left, but there was a couple free throws that Jakeen Gant hit. Marcus Stroman took over, scored 8 points the last 2 minutes, and even though Georgia Southern got some open looks, they just didn't finish, and that's why the Cajuns got out of there with a 2-point win.
Yeah, Cajuns struggling all of a sudden as well. They've had some bad starts. Any answers for the bad starts for Georgia Southern? Because usually, again, it's not like the Cajuns go undefeated or anything like that, but they usually come back. They may not win all the time. They fell behind by Monroe, but made it a ball game, a one-possession game. Any questions on why Georgia Southern keeps on getting off to slow starts?
A lot of times it's happened at home for whatever reason. It's been really slow starts on the offensive end, and we've had a tough time trying to figure out why. But the theme has been when they've gotten down big, they've been able to come back and take a lead, whether it's been 5 points, 8 points, or even earlier this year against George Mason, second home game of the season, the Eagles got down by 22 points and then came back and won. And that was their biggest comeback in 28 years. But the game that went against that grain was Texas State, ironically, a team that was in first and came in 17-3. Georgia Southern had a 10-0 run in the first 5 minutes. They built a double-digit lead, and they never let Texas State into it. Now, on the road, they've still had a little bit of issues trying to come back from big deficits, but been able to start better offensively on the road. They've swept the Alabama road trip for the first time ever. They were in position to beat State last weekend, but it's been a tough place for the Eagles to play their entire history, not just over this stretch where they haven't been able to pick up a win. But in the Cajun Dome, the biggest gym in the league, where we know it's a tough environment, even though they haven't been down here in a couple of years, got to find a way to start well on both ends.
Tell us about UT Arlington. I mean, they made a controversial change, letting their head coach go after not getting to the NCAA tournament. Tough to do. You guys split with them, actually won on the road but lost at home. They're making a little run here, actually doing better in the conference than they were doing overall. They're 6-3 in the conference. They're 10-12 overall. What's going on with them?
Yeah, the numbers don't look that great overall. Well, actually, when Georgia Southern went down to Arlington and beat them at the start of conference play, that dropped them to 4-10, and they were, what's the season going to be? Do we make the right choice bringing in Chris Ogden? But they've changed their defense. They've gained some offensive confidence. I think collectively they play harder than anybody else in the league. And going back to that last homestand for Georgia Southern, they were up 13 with about 15 minutes left, but Arlington stuck with it. They started getting easy baskets. Their pressure started turning Georgia Southern over. And again, the Eagles just did not make baskets when they had to over the final 4 minutes of the game. They started settling for threes, then they started settling for deeper threes, and nothing was just going down when they lost by five. And that was probably the most frustrating loss of the year. You can look at the Louisiana one as well, but you had to come down from 17 to make that a game. This one, you were up 13 at home, and that's the first time that Georgia Southern had blown a double-digit lead at home in 6 years. It doesn't happen at Hanner. It was extremely atypical of a Mark Byington team, but credit UT Arlington for how hard they play and for simply sticking with their guns and eventually getting a win.
Talking to Danny Reed, the voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles, I thought I was going to be the only show in America today to have two Georgia Southern Eagle announcers, one current, one former. The former one is sleeping in this morning. Can you give us a little taste of Chris Blair?
I am going to politely ask you to go listen to former clips. I don't want to do that again.
That's disappointing. All right. So how does
I don't have the voice for it this morning. Okay. I'm not trained as well as he is.
That is called a cop out, Cody. That's a cop out. Politely copped out, but that's all right. All right. So obviously the big key tonight is, and this happens all the time, how does Georgia Southern slow down Shaquini Camp?
I don't know if you do, because he's just on one of those roles where he's going to get whatever he wants. In the first game between the two, he had 22-12, 5-5. And that's an amazing line for anybody, whether it's real life or you're playing 2K or something like that. But in league play, he's scoring 27 a game. He's averaging 10 rebounds. He is getting whatever he wants, and I've talked with Coach Byington about this a couple times. Individually, he might be the hardest player in this league, not just to guard and to match up against, but the kind of motor that he has. And he showed the team numerous clips during scout yesterday about just how hard Keenan plays. Now, I think he saves a little bit more for Georgia Southern, having grown up in Springfield and Effingham County, which is roughly a half hour away from Statesboro. So I think he was jacked up to play that game specifically. He went over 1,000 career points, which I know was on his mind. But this being the final time in the regular season that he's going to see a team that he grew up watching and hearing so much about, I would think that he would do everything in his power to have a big game tonight. And if Georgia Southern can find a way to wall him up and hold him to 25 points, that might be a victory.
All right, Danny Reed, the voice of the Georgia Southern Eagles. We will see you at the Cajun Dome tonight. Eat well in town, my friend. Eat well today.
Dave, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. We got to have some Danny Reed. You have some Danny Reed? You got to come back and have some Danny Reed. I mean, that's...
Right. It's in our folders somewhere.
It sounds like he was threatened. This is what happened. It sounded like Chris Blair goes, don't even think about it. That's what it sounded like.
Someone
got to him. Someone got to Danny Reed. All right.
I think we have a clip somewhere.
How's your shoulder pain?
Real.
All right, let's talk to our buddy Chris Gordy from Sports Talk 790 in Houston. He's up next, 103.7. The game. You make me feel like dancing for you. All right, last chance, at least today. Two tickets to see Christopher Cross at L'Auberge in Baton Rouge, 706-0111, 706-0111. Next Friday, he's playing. All right? Two tickets will be at will call. If you're interested, give us a call, 706-0111, 706-0111. All right, officially, Byron Young is about to announce where he's going to college, although I guess he is apparently wearing an Alabama suit. And we're waiting for Christian Williams from Daphne in Alabama. I think that's right around Hoover, right? So we're waiting for that as well. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. He has returned from Atlanta to Houston. Sports Talk 790 also hosting on 1280 in New Orleans. It is Chris Gordy on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Yo, what's going on?
Well, Christopher Cross retweeted my tweet. How about that?
I saw that. That's very exciting.
My day is over. I'm just a mic drop. I just should have ended the show an hour and a half ago. How does it get better than that? Signing day, please. All right. Tell us your experience. Obviously, a little bit different this time around. You got to stay on Radio Row all week. It just didn't seem like there was any – there was no juice. It was all Belichick and McVay. There was a little Roby Coleman stuff. I thought most of the talk actually was on the no call. You know, it seemed like the Saints and the no call and Goodell sort of dominated it. There really wasn't any – it just didn't seem to be any juice for this game. Also, probably mostly because, you know, there's no Rams fans at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, here's the deal with the Radio Row thing. It's a cool thing because it's like 200 radio stations from all across the country. You got guests from current players, former players, celebrities. I mean, you got everybody and anybody coming through there, and some people are promoting things, some people aren't, and all this stuff. My goal every year for Radio Row is to bring it back to my audience. So, for instance, I did a bunch of shows for the Houston audience. I did my show in New Orleans. When I was doing my show for New Orleans, the only topic of focus was still on the aftermath of the NFC Championship game.
Sure.
So anybody I had on the show, that's what we were talking about. When I was doing the show for Houston, I was tying it back into, talking to Dan Marino. Hey, you know, what did you think of Deshaun Watson this year? What do you think of DeAndre Hopkins? You know, tie it back into what's relevant to your audience. I think the mistake a lot of guys make is they go there and the whole focus that week is on the game. Let's talk about the game. And I think for the most part, your audience doesn't give two flips. They're going to a Super Bowl party, and they're going to watch the commercials, and they're going to watch the halftime show. And, yeah, they might lay some money on the game or the coin toss. But, I mean, I think people really aren't that interested in the game to begin with. Now, if the Saints were in it, it would have been a different story. But
sure.
I talked with Dan Beyer from Fox Sports Radio, and he told me the same thing about middle of the week. He's like, dude, there's no buzz around this game.
Yeah.
He's like, you go around town, there are no Patriots fans anywhere. There are no Rams fans anywhere. I said, yeah, it really feels that way. It was funny. We actually saw a handful of Saints fans that week in Atlanta. I guess people who had bought their, you know, bought tickets to the game early on or bought hotels and didn't want to refund it or whatever.
Sure.
So I thought that was intriguing. But, yeah, I mean, this year, more than any other year, nobody was talking about the actual game. And now that we saw the game play out, it's justified why nobody was talking about that game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I certainly wouldn't have started talking about that. I mean, probably would have been a little bit on Monday, but mostly the game talk would have waited until Thursday or Friday. Although, did we have any Backstreet Boys on? See, that would have been bringing it back to my audience. The Backstreet Boys are coming to the Cajun Dome September 3rd.
Yeah, see, I got to interview the Backstreet Boys.
See, yes.
That was cool. My favorite one you would have loved was Charles Peanut Tillman, who set
nice.
The record straight. Set the record straight, and he said it is ULL still to him. He said he will not adopt Louisiana.
All right. Well, I guess he's the only one. Well, he's not, but you know, it is to each his own. All right. But see, that's a good interview too. That would have been great. Obviously, a great football player and maybe even a better person, Charles Tillman. All right. I gotta love. We'll go all over the place. Well, let's talk about since you're on. Let's talk about this whole NBA trade deadline. I was going to talk to you about Kobe calling out James Harden, which is the funniest thing of all time. But let's talk Pelicans. Did the Pelicans' price just go up after what the Clippers got for Tobias Harris?
Yeah, I mean, I think that trade, I woke up to see that this morning. I said, that's why you don't take that crap Lakers deal. For people, you know, let's be real. A lot of the national media, a lot of the folks at ESPN, Ramona Shelburne, all these people, they're based out of Los Angeles, the Chris Broussards. So they want to push this narrative because they want to cover Anthony Davis. I don't understand why people don't see that. The media can be biased, absolutely. They want to cover Anthony Davis and LeBron and have the Lakers even more relevant and a championship contender. So they're going to push this crap of, New Orleans is, I mean, I can't believe they wouldn't take this trade from the Lakers. 538 had the best thing I saw yesterday. They said the evaluation of Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram at this point in their careers, they were supposed to both take huge steps forwards this year. They have not. Brandon Ingram's been an okay player. He's been nice, but he has not been that next level. I'm not saying he's got to be a superstar, but he should have taken a bigger leap forward this year. He has not. Lonzo Ball, the same thing. Kid can't shoot. So those two guys, and Kuzma's a nice player as well. What you have there is three nice players. You don't have three great players. So or guys that show the potential for superstardom. And so that's where I would be really hesitant about making that deal. And then people are talking about, oh, well, they're throwing in two first-rounders. Well, if the Lakers are the Lakers with AD and LeBron, those picks are going to be, what, 25 or lower?
Yes,
like, those aren't going to be
exactly.
first-round picks.
So yes.
People made a little bit too much of that. I did like that they were willing to take on Solomon Hill's contract, but here's the problem with that thought. If they take Solomon Hill, great. That frees up $12 million of space next year in free agency for you. But that's, like, you want that space of free agency if you have an Anthony Davis. Like, who are you going to attract in free agency to come play for you and go,
right,
hey, look, we got Drew Holiday with, you know, Ingram and Lonzo Ball, and we hope they're good. We don't know if they're good. Like, right, that, in my mind, was just like, no, that does nothing for me. So, kudos to the Pelicans, standing strong. I expect them to still not make a trade before the trade deadline. The Lakers went all in. They threw everything they could at them, but the reality is it's still not enough. It's not better than what they're going to get come this offseason when the Celtics can get involved and potentially the team with the number one or number two pick can get involved.
So let's look at it the other way around, because I still don't understand why the Lakers want to trade everything, because just because you have LeBron and AD doesn't mean you're going to be able to win. Why are they going to give away their current house, the current farm, and the future farm? Even if those picks are way low, they're giving away everybody. They got to have guys there to play. You know, you can't go all Hoosiers and say my team is on the court and there's only four guys on the court. You know, if Anthony Davis is going to sign there anyway, why are the Lakers giving away everything?
I think what they're realizing here is, you know, there's pressure to make a move immediately right now, because look at what just happened to LeBron. He had a groin strain and missed a month. You know, LeBron 4 or 5 years ago with a groin strain misses a week. So the guy is, I mean, he's not getting any younger. He's still at the peak of his game. But how much longer will he be? They need to build this thing now. They can't wait a year and a half for Anthony Davis to hit free agency. So that's why they're so desperate. But you make a good point. Okay, you get LeBron, you get AD. Who the hell else is going to play on that team? They think they'll attract other people, and maybe they will. You know, you talk about guys who will hit free agency this offseason. Maybe Klay Thompson could be attracted to go team up with them there. Maybe Durant, you know, shows eyes to him or something. I don't know, but they're going to hope that maybe they can bring in another big free agent and have a big three in L.A. But I just think it's hilarious. Paul George shunned them last year in free agency, decided to say at OKC. I think it would be hilarious if they strike out on an Anthony Davis deal and no one wants to go play with LeBron. I know the concept has always been everyone wants to go play with LeBron. I think it'd be really funny if guys started turning it down and nobody went to team up with him there.
Yeah, see, I don't think anybody has wanted to play with LeBron since his friends wanted to play with LeBron. I don't think that's the case. No one wanted to play with him in Cleveland. He didn't, you know, Kevin Love re-signed with Cleveland after the season. He's like, I'm staying here. I'm taking the money. You know, it'll be very interesting to see if AD, we had this this poll question, who would be the leader if AD and KD signed up and neither one of them won the poll question. You know, what happens if, you know, say, I don't know what the parts are, so I have no idea, so, you know, how this would work. But what happens if, you know, AD is traded to Toronto, and all of a sudden he realizes, you know what, I'm a little bit under the radar here, right? This is not New York, Chicago, or L.A. I can enjoy myself, and I think that's what happened to Paul George. He played in Indianapolis, then he got to Oklahoma City. I can have a normal life here. People don't bother me. I got half the media that I got to deal with compared to those other cities. Toronto, I'm one of many, and it's the NBA in Toronto.
Yeah, well, that's why I think Kawhi might ultimately end up staying in Toronto, because it turns out they're really good with him playing well. So, but here's the one to watch. This is the move to watch. I talked with a couple of folks yesterday around the league who said this could be the move. Right now, you want to root for the Knicks to lose out. You want the Knicks to lose as many games as possible. You want the Knicks to win the lottery and get the number one pick, because – here's the thing. Everyone wants Zion Williamson out of Duke. That's the treasure prize. The Pelicans really want him as well. The only scenario, and it sounds like a tough sell for the Knicks fan base to say, hey, we're going to trade away the number one pick, but hear me out. Kevin Durant has already told the Knicks he has interest in potentially going there, but he doesn't want to go alone. He wants to team up with somebody. It's a tough sell to Kevin Durant and other guys that, hey, look, we're going to take this kid Zion Williamson, and we're going to, you know, it's going to take him a year or two to build up, but give him time. He's going to be really good. He's going to be a superstar. Versus you flip Zion for Anthony Davis with the assurance that Anthony Davis will stay there, you know, once he becomes a free agent. But you bring in Anthony Davis, a guy in the middle of his prime, and bringing Kevin Durant to New York, boom, the Knicks are an instant contender overnight East. That's not as competitive as the West. So that, to me, is the one to watch. But of all the teams that could potentially have the number one pick, the Knicks would be the only one willing to trade the number one pick. If the Suns get it, the Bulls get it, any of those teams, they're taking Zion Williamson, and that's done. The Pelicans have no shot at him.
Well, here's the other thing. It's not as crazy. You know, this past year, you know, if you were six in the NBA draft lottery, you only had a 6% chance, and the number one team had 25. This year, to even out and, I guess, to prevent tanking, you know, the bottom three are 14%. If somehow – the Pelicans can fall to 6, it's a 9% chance. That is not ridiculous that the Pelicans could end up with the number one pick, although I'm all conspiracy theory, the Knicks are going to get the pick.
Yeah, the problem with the Pelicans is they did themselves a disservice winning all those games earlier this season.
Well, we thought they were going to be – well.
There's actually a pretty good cushion right now. You got to think none of those other all those other teams, you know, the Knicks aren't suddenly going to go on a 5-game win streak or something. So, their goal right now is to lose as many games as possible. That's why I think it's hilarious that Yahoo report that came out. Anthony Davis just wants to play. Go to hell!
Right.
You don't want to be here. You don't get to call the shots anymore, bud. So, that report I just thought was laughable.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get there. They can't get past the Bulls, all right? So they can't get any fourth. That's like 10 games. But they're only 4 games behind Atlanta, and Atlanta's trying to win. They're a game and a half behind Memphis. I know Memphis is going to dump a couple of guys here, but, you know, Kendrick Williams is starting for the Pelicans. They play great. They play hard. They play great defense. Come up short. I'm telling you, they got a shot to get in that 5th or 6th spot in the draft.
Yeah, again.
Or at least in the lottery.
The Pelicans' biggest asset right now, outside of the whole Anthony Davis trade and all that, is their own first-round pick. That, you know, that they can control that one. Lose a bunch of games and potentially get, like you said, top 6, top 5
right.
with your own pick, and then we'll see what happens with Anthony Davis.
And again, you know, I know how crazy people are for Zion Williamson, and I understand it. I've been watching him play a lot. R.J. Barrett may end up being a better NBA player. We'll see. I mean, it's crazy as that is. He may end up being an NBA player. All of a sudden, you get the number 2 pick. You're not that poor off. Of course, that's the 2 players that they need. They've been needing an R.J. Barrett and a Zion Williamson forever. Either one of them.
And the other part is, too, people have compared this to the Chris Paul situation. Like, when they traded Chris Paul, you had a bunch of role players. David West. And, I mean, like, they had nothing left. This is a scenario where Drew Holiday's pretty damn good. That's not a bad player to have. I think Sam Vecenie I had on yesterday from The Athletic, he said, I'd have trouble naming 30 better NBA players than Drew Holiday. So he's like, you potentially have a top 30 NBA player there already on your team.
Sure.
In moving Anthony Davis. So that's a good foundation to build around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Chris Gordy, appreciate it. It took me actually 2 days to recover from the Super Bowl. I went to bed early last night, so I am recovered. By the way, go Pats.
Yeah, whatever. I had no problem with them winning it because it was like, who the hell cares? He's
right,
already the greatest.
Well, this will be good news for you. The Patriots have 12 draft picks and 6 in the first 3 rounds.
Oh, God. Sickening.
It kind of is. I appreciate it, my friend. All the best.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
All right. It kind of is. The guys on the NFL, what is that? Is that Alan Michaels' buddy, Kyle Brandt? He's been on the show, Cody. He's talking about they got to come up with ways to stop the Patriots from getting better. Stop trading with the Patriots, the 0-16 Lions. Stop giving them, Kyle Van Noy and Danny Shelton. Stop trading. They lose a couple first-round draft picks, and one of their first-round draft picks this year got hurt. Isaiah Wynn didn't play at all. Is it possible they could be better next year? I don't know. We could do, by the way, Cody, you know where the Super Bowl is next year, right? We went over this back in Miami. I need to buy a hotel room now. I'm going next year to the Super Bowl, whether I'm working it, covering it, or whatever. I'm going back. Miami. All right, back after this. We wrap it up. We'll do the poll questions. We'll see the current status of National Signing Day. You got Raymond Parch coming up. He'll continue with that talk as more guys from the list of LSU seem to be going by the boards. All right. Back after this, 1037, The Game. All right. So far, not so good for LSU, but I'm not sure how much this was expected. All right. I mean, defensive line, Byron Young stays commitment to Alabama. All right. Sony Finala is coming. He's the junior college edge rusher from Utah, so he is coming. All right. And we're still waiting for, let's see here, Christian Williams. Let's see where that goes. Christian Williams will be the last one, so that's coming up here in a few minutes. Raymond Parsh III will have that. We talked a little baseball anyway. We got a call, Cody, or is someone just giving you a hard time?
A little wedding advice there.
There you go.
A little wedding advice from our guy, Tim.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. The big wedding advice that I got, although I've never been married, all right, here's the thing. You got to eat at the wedding.
Okay.
That sounds ridiculous, but I almost, my boy Michael, I'll drop his name, I don't care. My boy Mike Lavin, we went out, you know, the friends went out afterwards, and someone was delivering a Domino's pizza. I was just going to swipe the pizza. Yeah, that's mine. It's me, right?
Right.
Went up and down, so maybe the guy didn't know who I was. I come back up the, get down a stairs again. It was the groom's wedding. It was his pizza. The groom is having Domino's pizza on his wedding night.
Huh.
That is the key. You got to take, because you're going around thanking everybody. Right. Thanking, you just got to take 10 minutes and eat.
According to the people, the coordinator and everything.
Right.
They
J-Lo, of course.
Right, yes. They make a plate of food for us, and right. Between the wedding itself, like the ceremony itself.
Sure.
And like kind of while pictures are happening before we get to the reception.
Oh, okay.
They bring us a plate of food.
Oh, there you go. See, they know
so
all
they
about
know,
it.
Yeah.
They know all about it. You just need 10 minutes to eat. All right. A little baseball news going on here. MLB and the Players Association getting together. Dueling proposals from MLB on January 14th. They're talking about a 3-batter minimum for relief pitchers, so you can't do, which is a great idea. You can't.
It just takes that one-on-one matchup situation.
Yes,
out.
But now you can't. You know, what if the guy throws one pitch and you're making another pitching change? So you can't do that.
Or you have that thing where the pinch hitter is officially announced.
Correct.
After the relief pitcher is brought in.
Something like
so
that,
then
right.
That relief pitcher is then taken out
right.
Before he even technically throws a pitch.
Well, he's got to stay in to face one batter. The batter can change. You lose the batter.
Oh, so it's the other
but
way
that
around.
Really doesn't take any time other than, you know, getting warmed up.
So it's the okay, it's not the pitcher that's changed.
Right.
Gotcha.
Universal DH, that's coming. Sorry, National League fans. That's coming.
Yeah, Carlos Zambrano doesn't play anymore. So
too bad. Too bad. A single trade deadline before the All-Star break. That seems odd. Why would you want that? Before the All-Star break?
Races aren't even officially
A 20-second pitch clock that only works with no runners on base. Can't have it with runners on base. That's ridiculous.
The pitch clock never works anyways.
Pitch clock does work. It's a great idea. All right? But it only works. It's only effective when there's nobody on base. You don't want the Steve Traxel deal and slowing people down. All right?
Right.
They want to lower the mound, which seems odd. Which means more offense. And they want to expand the rosters to 26 men with a 12-pitcher minimum. So some baseball news. We can start to get into that, pitchers and catchers reporting. Let's see if we get our buddy Jessica Kleinschmidt on. All right. What a show that was. Again, if you missed it, you can see on my Twitter feed, Christopher Cross retweeted and liked my tweet.
Congratulations, Dave. Congratulations.
All right. Keep on voting. Is Cody's shooting shoulder pain real or... Is he getting cold feet?
It's a miracle. It's gone away, actually.
Yeah,
I feel so much better.
Thanks to Bruce Feldman, Chris Blair, Sam Spiegelman, Brian Bieniemy, Danny Reed, Chris Gordy. We'll have a full recap of signing day tomorrow. Ben Love will have Billy Napier on from the Cajuns later today. You got Raymond Parch. You got Jim Rome, Jordy Holtberg, Ben Love, and then LSU basketball tonight after Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. Keep it live and local all day long here. 103.7 The Game.